you have to be a little bit the full parsha that we left out. Beginning of parsha's Chayisar, I'm trying to describe the way Avraham Avinu was very interested in buying a shepherd's plot to bury his wife Sarah. And the people in Hebron keep on saying this, and that's giving the best spot in this time. It's not much about to bury, except it's for burying. Buys it for a lot of money. So from this parsha, we learn out the halacha, it's been there right, so that you have to bury Jews in the sacred cemetery. That's how Dr. Tevel used to. The Gemara never proves this. It's assumed, this is a parsha of Chumash, the Gemara doesn't have to prove it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has to prove a different thing, that even if you have two Jews whom you want to bury, one is a tzaddik, one is a rasha, that you're not permitted to bury a rasha next to a tzaddik. So that's a Gemara proves from a different parsha, and say from the Muslim, and the Gemara says, we've on this on Dr. Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet, that even if the two people are both Yishayim, one being a thousand of theirs, one being a thousand one of theirs, even that the city, so that the city that you're not permitted to bury one next to the other, so you can assess the city, if you can count up their Averis. The Gemara says, even if they both did nearly a thousand Averis, but one person did an Averis, so strictly speaking, he only got one time Malkus and one time Misa for that Averis, but it was a case where it should have been Misa Chalalisa, but it wasn't Chalalisa. The Gemara says, but with respect to this din of Lekover, Ben Hashem, Demurim, it's counted as two different Averis. So that's the Gemara proves that whole bin of tzaddik is a Rosha, the Rosha Chomer is a Rosha Kal, and so on. That's based on the parsha in when Elisha died. And by mistake, they buried someone else right next to him, and then a Tzir Tameitim occurred in order that he can be together, it shouldn't be so. It should be left Rosha Eitzel Tzaddik shouldn't be buried. That's the parsha in the Lacham. But the Halacha that you require to every Yisrael, that's the Gemara never proves. That's based on parsha Chayisar. The CDA suggests that maybe the Shir HaChok is different, that although the post can require a HaChok of 8 Amis between Kevin Yisro and Kevin Nochri, because the Dalar Amis around the Mace is species Amis. The Gemara has to think that Dalar Amis around the Mace is Matami that's only the Rabbanon. The Gemara says because of the Hashash that the Mace is turned over to Kevin, that's only a Kumim of the Rabbanon. But the Shir Dalar Amis is the Shir Deraita. We learn to ask him on the Mace and Hedron. You have to bury the Harugi Bezman with the Sarge and Ethnic Boy and with the Sarge Shemerag Boy and with the Sudish and Ethnic Boy and so on. So the Gemara says, Mamish, you bury it in the Kevin. So the Gemara says, no, Ima Tov Dalaram. You have to bury Tov Dalaram. So you see, this is the Shia Dalaram is in our favor. So the thoughts can say that the Shia Dalaram is relevant to this day, that if you bury enough in next to your soul within 8 Amis, so they have been to lock and see the Sarge. So that's in violation of this din of having a separate cemetery. So what about dragging a static next to Russia? You also need Dr. 8 Amis. So that's a CDA. He says that maybe they can make up. Maybe there's enough dollar on it. Maybe there is no shear of 8 Amis because they're based on two different parashiyas. This is based on, Kevin Yisrael is based on parashiyas Ha'isa. And Shalom Likpa static next to Russia is based on a different parashiyah in Malachim by Amisha Hanavi. And so they should say that his grandfather Achaim held this is such a serious deal, not to bury a Yisrael in a Kivay Nochri in Europe. There was a big problem because in the last 800 years or so, after all the emancipation in all the countries, there were many countries that didn't allow the Jews to bury in a separate cemetery. And there were still cities that are Yom HaZeh, where in Switzerland, in different communities, where the Jews are not permitted to have their own cemeteries. And when someone dies, so they have to take it to a different country. They have to move the body to a different country in order to bury him in a Kevin Yisrael. So that Chaim held that this is such a chomedic din that a Kohen who's only permitted to be Mitameh, to Zayin Kreizmot, or Meis Mitzvah, if a Kohen happens to be in a city where he knows that there's a Jew who's buried in a gracious cemetery, so that Chaim held that the Kohen is permitted to be Mitameh, to the Meis, to dig him out from the gracious cemetery and bury him in a Jewish cemetery, that this is called a Meis Mitzvah. And as Rachel said, the other government disagreed with that claim. That was a machlokes 100 years ago, whether this is considered so serious a deal that this is called a Meis Mitzvah. A Meis Mitzvah is only up until he's buried. But what if he's buried the Gizonian bottle? It's also called a Meis Mitzvah. If the Torah dies, so the Torah describes that Avraham Avinu has to get a shira for his son Yitzchok. So the parasha begins, Avraham Zaken Bo Bayamim, Hashem Berech Az Avraham Bako. So the Medrash has different interpretations on the word batol. One interpretation is that she calls batol on the gematria vain. It's very strange. What do you mean a gematria that he had a son? He didn't have a son. It's a good thing, but Rashi says, then the Ramban quotes in Medrash, Batol Shem, that's how it's a law. And every time it says Batol Shem, it's a law, Batol Shem, that was the name. So the Ramban gives it some Derech HaKabbalah, what that means. What do you mean he had a daughter with the name? Batol. He gives the whole Pshat on Derech HaKabbalah. Then another Pshat in the Medrash is, Hashem Erech HaZavram Batol, he was blessed, Shalom HaZavram. He didn't have a daughter. He says, what does that mean? He didn't have a daughter. If he would have had a daughter, that would have been a curse. The blessing was that he only had sons, he had no daughters. What's the deal, Abdullah? That's why Rabbi Hutman's verses in Tahanitza, he presents the kasha like this. See, I love it. The deal is like this here, that you only fulfill the mitzvah 2 years, you have a son and a daughter. If you only had sons, you had no daughters, so he was involved with mitzvah 2 years. So what kind of a blessing is that? That's the high curse. He says, and his verses have different things. Most of his verses are the Ian Bottle. And then sometimes he has, very short piece. He has a very short piece on this topic. He suggests like this, that Avraham Avinu was already told to be Yitzchak Yitzchak HaZera. And the Yitzchak Yitzchak HaZera means Yitzchak and not Yishmon. And if you have 100 children, Yitzchak is going to be the only one who's going to be Jewish. So it was a blessing that he didn't have a daughter. He would have had a daughter. He would have had Avnus Lev, but the daughter was a sister. He would have had 100 sons, they would all be daughters. So Harari had one, he had one son in addition to Yitzchak, and that son was a very daughter. Yitzchak was a brother. Because he was told to be Yitzchak because Yitzchak and no one else. So that's perhaps that's the Kavanat HaMelech. That Hashem Berachas Avraham Bakol, he was blessed, but he didn't have any other children, had no other daughter, that if he would have had daughter, she would have been excluded from the position to Israel, and he certainly would have been aggravated about that. So the Pasha describes the way Avraham asks of Eliezer, Eved Avraham should swear that he's going to go to Shilachim, find his daughter, When Yitzchak appears, everything starts going in fast motion. When you take a movie and start moving at a very quick speed, but Tamahir, but everything, all of a sudden, everybody's rushing. How come everybody's rushing? So the Yitzchak says, like we know, like the people of the Mesavim who are adopted to daven into the Poshkia, so what happens if it's 6 minutes before Poshkia? So he's davening very quickly. So he says, that's what happened over here. He came there in the 8th Eretz. It was late in the afternoon. And he asked Chassar Ezra, how can you know the Fanai Hayyam? No, Hayyam was only until the prophet was there. So he asked the Rebbeinu Shlom, since the Shidduch today, secret to today, there's not much time left. So that's why the prophet says that everything started to happen very quickly. Everybody's in the rush. Rashi doesn't say that, of course. Rashi spoke to Medrash, why is Vayora to Eved? Why is the Eved running? Rashi spoke to Medrash, if you should rush, all of Hamayim the cross. He thought that it necessary that the water came up. So therefore, what did he have to run for? So the Shidduch, he saw that this is Mamash Merashamayim, so he started running. So he said, what did he have to run? So he's positive that this was this, so why did he have to run? So I was sitting at the Yaguri Convention, and I was sitting next to one of the Rabbanim there from Queens, on the Zavitsky. So he told me, Yadarach HaPshat, he thought the Pshat was like this, that the well was over there, and he was standing over here with his camel, and Rivka came, and she said, would you like a drink? And he said, yes. So she went to draw the water, so he figured it's going to take 5 minutes for she's going to draw the water, so in 5 minutes I'll mosey along and I'll get over to the well in order to drink the water. But then he said that the water came up to her, so he didn't have 5 minutes, so he started running. Not that he started running because he saw a massacre. That's not why. He said that there was no time, he didn't have the time that he thought he was going to have. He thought that that was all there, I've done. The Kabbalah's Hamedish that Rashi quotes. The prophet is out of order. Oh, it says, Vatayed Hanu Vatamale Kado Vatol. It says, how did he know that she was going to offer him the water? Yeah, I don't know. The good times, this one seems to be out of order according to his interpretation. The parsha continues to say, the way Eliezer tells Rabbi, the whole story from beginning to the end. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that Yafis and Chosim shall have the Yavis, Yosem and Seros and Shalbonim. That the Chumash repeats the story by Yichas Yisera. And we have so many halachas that are just learned out from the Nekuda. There was a Chosim, you have a Lama Nokud and a Hei, and you have Pidama learned out from the Hei, and from the Vav, and from the Yud. Here, everything is repeated, Ibn Gechazi. You have to understand, what does that mean? What does it mean, Yafis Yichas Mishalab the Yavis, Yosem, Chavidus Yichas Mishalab the Yavis, Yosem and Seros Habonim. So Rafutin has a long brush on it in his forum. He repeated in a few different places in the Sam Paha Yitzchak. A very interesting point. He says that what did we get exactly from the Elvis and what did we get exactly from the Teres HaBonim? So from the Teres HaBonim, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu gave Teres Moshe. Moshe brought the Torah down in Ashman and he taught us all the halachas, all the Tariq mitzvahs and all the Dina HaTeres. What do we get exactly from the Elvis? He says like in common speech, when you have a person who's very bright, and his father is very bright, and he goes to yeshiva and he learns very well, so you say that the child has his father's head, and he picks up all the Torah from his Rebbe, and his father's head has all the Torah from the Rebbe. Why don't you say he has the Rebbe's head? What exactly has the Rebbe's head? He's not a child of the Rebbe. He can't get the Yusha from the Rebbe. His father is very bright, so he tries to say that he got the Yusha, the head from his Rebbe. He got the head Yerusha from the parents. All the meters the person gets from his parents' meters. And then once he has these meters, once he has the tailing, once he has the ability to absorb a lot, like the father has a genius head, so the child can have a genius head, the Yerusha from the father. So he can say, because he has the head of his father, so that's why he's able to pick up all the Torah from his head. So he thinks that this is Rabbi Huttner, right? So he thinks that this is the Kavanah over here. What do we get exactly from the Yavis? What do we get exactly from the Teres HaBonim? Because we shall have the Yavis, what we got from Avram Yitzchak Yankov, are the Kalim and the categories of thought, and the Nidos and the way to think, in general. The Nidos Tavis and the categories of thought. Then we got from Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave us all the Halachas. We put the Halachas, we understand the Halachas, according to the categories of thought that were given to us, that we got the Yerusha from Avraham Yitzchak Yankov. This is why, in accordance to how well the kalim are worked out, and in accordance to how good the person's head is, that's how well he'll be able to understand the Torah that he learns in his Rebbe. So that's why the Torah stresses so much the Sichos and Shalav the Yovah, is because this is the Hachshara, this is the Hachana. These leaders that we got from the Yovah are the Hachana for being able to be the top of the Torah in the later generation. Then he has a long arithmetic about secular studies. And it's Russia Sankarik, and he keeps on repeating that this is in Kabbalah's fun, we speak a lot about this. That the uniqueness of the Yevonim, there was only other persecution. So what was unique about the Yevonim? So the Russian more stress about the Chochmah Yevon. He more speaks a lot about Chochmah Yevon, that there was something very intellectual that they had to offer. And it's Chachma Bagoyim, so you have to go to the what is Chachma Bagoyim time, and you should learn that Chachma. But a person has to be careful. Never write the same that we're talking about, but it's very obvious we're talking about secular studies. If the Yom HaKorelim has secular Chachma, there's something here, so it's good to study it. But the only thing is a person has to be careful when he studies the secular Chachma. What are you doing here? Because there's a prosecute, Yishon Dachi Hashem, Tzadikim Yochav HaMafoshim HaKoshlevam, Tzadikim and HaKoshim go on the same Derech Hashem. It's not that the Tzadik goes in one direction, he's going to the right, he's keeping his Shabbos and Kashrus and Tzadik on his Prochot. And the Russian's going to the left, he's in the Hal Shabbos and he's in the Vegas and Chasis and he's doing what we have there. No, we're talking about Yishon Dach Hashem, the Tzadikim and the Foshim are going on the same Derech. And this person, because he does it the same Shemayim, that's what the Gemara knows the time of the Nefosh. Knows about the Gemara, but people are mamish. Shlam should go with this Tzadik and the 180 to the Shem Achim Agasa, 180 to the Shem Mitzvah. So we're going on the same Derech Hashem, the Tzadikim will be Matzliach and the Rishon will be Nishtal. So Rabbi Huttner writes a lot about studying Chochmas Yavon, not studying secular studies. A person has to be careful to pick out the right things from Chochmas Yavon. And Mar speaks about the importance of Yavonis. Yav Yafin, the Kinli Yafin, the Yishkin Yol HaShem, refers to Tzav Yavonis. That you're not permitted to write, as a Machlechus HaTanayim, in the first place of the Gula, we talk like the Tanayim, the Yishkin Gula says, that you're not permitted to write in translation the Chamisha Chamisha Torah, being proven in any other language. You can write an art scroll in English, but it doesn't have traditional speech of Torah. You only have traditional speech of Torah. You use my parchment in Yavonis. And then the rabbi said, we don't have that Yevonic anymore. That's a Greek that they teach in the college now. He still teaches it. This is not the original Greek. This is a corruption of the original Greek, so you can't even write even in Yevonic. But in the original Yevonic, then you can write it. The more derived is from the prophet, the after the king of Yevon, the Yishkan the Yahweh Shem Yah. If you teach the Yah, the Yishkan the Yahweh Shem. So you have to be careful what you pick up from Yahweh. A person may pick up from Yahweh different categories of thought, which will really be in competition with what the others offered us. The others offered us different categories of thought. And we're supposed to understand the Torah. You can have people who have a whole secular approach to life. They're learning Kol HaTorah Kula, the same Torah that we learn all the Gemaras, the Mashors, the Rashbos, the kind of A's, whatever a person is doing learning. They learn the exact same text as we do, but a person has, different people have different categories of thought in their minds. If a person has the categories of thought which we have in our Torah, traditional categories of thought, which we got from the other generation, from our Ramis and Kenyanka, that we have throughout all the generations in our Torah, then he will understand all the Tayyab Mitzvah Sotera in a proper perspective. A person will replace those categories of thought with different categories of thought, as many people do who study secular studies, they pick up the whole Yusuf in the secular knowledge, not just the points of information or the Yatmikusa Shoyasa, the Yofi and the Noi and other things. To pick up basic premises, and then even if the person will learn Kol HaTorah Kula, it'll be in an improper perspective because it'll be in the wrong categories of thought. The Abdi-Ovis is part of all of my service in the Labonim. Everything in Bereshit is the Sefer Yosher because it shows us how to straighten out our attitude. Yeah. Like an extension, even the Abdi Yavis is written so much by you. The Tanya has a lot about this also, about the competition between Chochmas Yavin and Chochmas HaTeiro. Chochmas Yavin was a Chochmas, so that's in competition with Chochmas HaTeiro. Other persecutions were not really in competition with Torah. No, they wanted us to marry a Shifu. They wanted to violate the Maholot HaSur. Okay. They want us to do our daily, but something that's in competition with the whole premise of the Torah is even more serious. Even if the person will learn Kol HaTorah Kula, it'll be in the improper perspective. It won't be understood. The whole piece will be completely different. It's interesting when you read the Sukkim, and Eliezer repeats the whole story, he adds on something the second time that he didn't say the first time. And he tells the family, Ulai Lesevuhi Shalalecha Sacharai. And the first time he didn't say that. He said it the first time, but Rashi points out that the second time it's missing a vav, and the first time it's not missing a vav. Rashi points out the second time missing a vav, Ulai, a light of Ord, and he had a daughter, and he wanted possibly to negotiate to get Yitzchak to marry his daughter. So he's telling them the whole story. Eliezer is telling them the whole story. If that's what he meant when he said Ulai was certainly equal, if that's what he meant when he said it to Avraham Avinu, so how come it's not Yitzchak for the first time? The first time it says in Pasuk 10, Ulai Lesevu Yisrael Lecha Sacharai is Molei Vav. So Rashi doesn't dash, and Rashi doesn't quote the Drosha there. Then he quotes it the second time. Ulai Lesevu. Ulai, the second time is missing the Vav. How come up with the second time? Why not the first time? But it's all in the second Sefer of Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky on Chumash. That's what it's for. We put our two Sforim on Chumash. The second Sefer will have an interesting Drosha based on this, I think they're based on a Yerushalmi. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash on that pasuk Ulai Chosavov, a light of all, that Avraham's response was no, that he was a baruch, the Jewish nation has bracha, and Orer Kanaan Eved Avraham Gil Echol, and Eved Kanaan is Zechlav Orer, and then Orer Mizabit Babor, so it won't be a good shidduch. So he suggests that Eliezer realized this on his own, that Ein Orem is Dabas Baruch. And he knew that he was Orem. Up until the time, that's Rabbi Yankov quotes on Yerushalmi, up until the time that Lavan invited him into the house, he says, Bo Baruch Hashem, Lama Misamach Afut, Namechel Kinesi Habreit. And he called the Baruch Hashem, there was a medrash of Yerushalmi that says, the Talmud Yerushalmi, that says that at that point he was Yotzei Mechlal Orem, he became a Baruch. At that time when he became a Baruch, now he starts to think, hey, maybe the Shidduch is going to work. Maybe I can get maybe I can get these cuts my young daughter. Now that he says Baruch Hashem and he declared me as a Baruch, and somehow he has a prophet who's Yotam HaKlal Or at that time, as Yerushalmi says. So that's why now he starts, that's why the Drasha has it on this prophet, after he was declared as a Baruch. And then he goes ahead to discuss why he lost his status as a Baruch. Then our Yankee comes next, he discusses that at a later point in the parasha, he thinks, that doesn't say in the Talmud of Yerushalmi. He suggests, as Yankee says, at a later point in the parasha, he lost his status as a Baruch and he heard that Torah. Oh, that's already another point. He actually most of Rama, Baruch HaRashim, if he's talking about, like, if he's talking about the air, my time is always. Rashi quotes a very interesting medrash. I hope he's a master of his Baruch HaRashim, Baruch HaRashim, Baruch HaRashim, Baruch HaRashim, Baruch HaRashim, Baruch HaRashim, Avraham Avinu was afraid to give the brachas to Yitzchak. It's yorili brachas to Yitzchak. And hey, because Avraham Avinu was suffered, Baruch HaTadeh, that eight of the eight in the menu. So Avraham Avinu was afraid to give the bracha to Yitzchak. Omar, so he said, Yova, Baba bracha, you know, he said, Shayita Bi'enon. I'm afraid to give the bracha, let the Baruch one come. So that's why the prophet says that a cold man Avraham is alive, he didn't give the bracha. Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave the bracha. Avraham never gave the bracha to Yitzchak. Very strange, he actually quotes. Might be a medic. That's Gavaracha, another interpretation. Might be a medic. So that's why it says, he after the most Avram, after Avram died, and Avram didn't transmit the bracha to Yitzchak, by God, for the king of Yitzchak, but I could both get the bracha, you have about a bracha, you work it, as Shah Yitzchak be in it. So I said, Rabbi Hutzner points out in his bracha, there's a Ramam in Hilchas Avedizor, and nobody ever used that part of the Ramam. But yeah, it's not Mahalokha. In the introduction to Hilchas Avedizor, the Rama starts saying, when the Baruch Hashem created the world, I don't know if that there's only one God who's all Avodah Zarah. And the prophet describes when Avodah Zarah began the Baruch Hashem. The Rama starts to explain why. Then he says, Avraham Avinu discovered that there's only one God and he broke all the idols and he didn't believe in Avodah Zarah. And then the Rama starts describing the historical background. The beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, paraphrase. He says, Avraham Avinu was writing books and lecturing all over the world and explaining that they should all believe in one God, no Avodah Zarah. And he noticed, and he gave all of this information to his son Yitzchak. The Hodiya Boromelon Yitzchak. That's all. And then he says, Yitzchak was preaching and teaching and writing and preaching and dashing and traveling all over and teaching the word of God. And then he taught all these principles to his son Yaakov, and he appointed him as the one to carry over, to transmit the Maser that he had gotten from his father Yaakov. So Rabbi Hutzner, the Chanaracha, points out, and the Rambam, it's interesting that the Rambam says that Avraham notified Yitzchak, and it doesn't say that he appointed him to take over every job. You take over this job and this function. And by Yitzchak it says that he appointed Yaakov. So he says, yes, the Rambam got it from his chicken. The way Rashi points that out in his focus, that Avraham was afraid to give the bracha. Give the bracha means that you entrust the transmission of the Maserah to this person. He's going to be the next one in the link of the Maserah. So Avraham was afraid to give the bracha to Yitzchak. After he died, he notified Yitzchak of all this, and he told everybody else all this, because there's only one God in every desire of baloney. But Yitzchak not only transmitted the information to Yaakov by Manehu, but he appointed him as the one to take over. That means that he gave the bracha. So he points out an interesting thought. Where did Rashi and the Rambam get this? From Pesach. There must be a medrash somewhere. So he points out that he discovered a source in the medrash of the Pesach of the Reb Lezer. A wild medrash. And this person, by Yahweh, the Moshe Avraham, by Baruch, and he said, he's called Ben-O. So the medrash says that at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitted the Sod HaIbur, the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShonah, the Sod HaIbur to Yitzchak. By Baruch, and he said, Yitzchak. So after Avraham Avinu died, then Yitzchak was given the Hashamayim, Avraham Avinu taught him the Dinu, that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShonah. And only after Avraham Avinu died, then Yitzchak was Mekadosh Chadoshim and Ma'ab HaShonah. But then the Pirkei Rav Lezer says that later Yitzchak transmitted all his dinim to Yaakov, and Yaakov was already functioning as a Beis Din. He was in Kaddish Kadosh Mabashan even before Yitzchak died. So he, so the Radal in his commentary of David Lurie, who was a great guy 150 years ago, he was one who published the Pirkei Rav Lezer. He wrote a long introduction, and he wrote footnotes on the bottom, and he idea of the text and so on. So he points out, how come there's a discrepancy over here? How come when Avraham Avinu taught the Dinah of Kiddush HaChodesh Mibur HaShonah to his son Yitzchak, to the Pirkei Rav Lezer, implies clearly that Yitzchak never used the dinim until after Avram died based on this pasuk. How he's using the pasuk, I don't know. Yeah, for Meis Avram, but I think Yitzchak, it has to do with the Tzidus HaFadus Yibar Hashanah, the third Yibar. But when Yitzchak taught it to Yaakov, so then Yaakov already started to function as a Mekadosh Kadosh Mabashan, even during the lifetime of Yitzchak his father. So Rabbi Huttner thinks that maybe the Kavona is, like Rashi and like the Rambam seems to have said, that Avram taught it over to Yitzchak, but he was afraid to transmit the whole Masoret to him to say that I'm giving you over, I'm placing you in charge. I'm a man of you, I'm a Shabbat, you could be in charge. You taught him like a person takes a book, and whoever wants can read the book. But Yitzchak had to transmit it. So Yitzchak only got the right to act like a dayan, like a dayan, Menashe Marek. He offered him a Shabbat, but he wrote a Kinnah Yitzchak. So the Zohar gave him the Rishus and the Hormonot to be Mekadosh Kadosh. But Yitzchak saw that it's going to be acting, and he gave him the bracha. Gave him the bracha means that he was mitzvah him and amana him that he could take over this matter. Same idea. Very cool. Yeah, that's the end of our mind. The beginning of Talmud, the Chumash says that Yitzchak finally became pregnant with twins and they were fighting within her. And she couldn't understand what's happening. What was so difficult? She never heard of twins before. So now she tries to remember. So he throws it to her. But he throws it to her. It doesn't sound meaning that she was having a hard time. They were fighting with each other. And she couldn't understand that babies don't have tzira chavshus. How can babies don't have any tzira? How can they be fighting? So that's what the medicine says, that they intuitively, they represented two different hashkafas. So long, that's why they just couldn't get along together. Maral Mitrag, on this rashi, in Gurari, has a long arita kama. Intuitively, they were two different clinics. Batelach Midrash of Hashem, so who, what did she do, Batelach Midrash? The rashi says she went to the Beit Midrash of Hashem. The Gurari has on this also an interesting comment. We always speak about the Beit Medrash of Yeshiva Hashem B'Ezra. Here it says he went to us in the Beit Medrash of Shem. Why doesn't it say Shem B'Ezra? That's what I would say. But later in Vayetzei, because Vayetzei Avigdor Shabbat, he learned, Rashi has a medrash, and he learned 14 years the Beit Medrash of Shem B'Ezra. He doesn't say the Beit Medrash of Shem. But now Rami Prat points this out. How come here she went to the Shem, and there he went to learn the Beit Medrash of Shem B'Ezra. It has an interesting comment. He says that sometimes you have a yeshiva. We have another yeshiva like that. Let's say you have a yeshiva. You have the old version of yeshiva. You have younger than you have younger. You have a rebbe. He's 20, 30, 40 years younger than the big rebbe. Sometimes you come in and run to the younger rebbe. If the younger rebbe learns by the older rebbe, why should they all run to the older rebbe? So the answer is, it's an interesting question. The Gemara says, "Ein adam lo mitzayir, el b'machmir shavu b'chotek, and by the rebbe shavu b'chotek, the yeshiva that he happens to refer to Hashem Chetzo." So that's a Yagi Amalot, the first pair of concealment, so he's mine already done. The first pair of time, the first pair of Hashem has to be in the yeshiva that is Libra Chavis, and in the Sikhta that is Libra Chavis, and the Rebbe that is Libra Chavis. So sometimes a person has an attachment to a younger Talmud Chacham. The bigger Talmud Chacham, the older Talmud Chacham may be chapter even bigger and better and everything. That's not from Shalibra Chavis. So he says, that's why the Marami Chacham. That's why when Yaakov went to learn, he learned that there's Medus of Shem the Eber. Eber was much, much younger than Shem. But still, it says, you learn by Shem, you learn by Eber. Sometimes one learns to listen to Ishia, sometimes one has to listen to Ishia. But over here, in the beginning of Parshas told her, it wasn't the meaning of learning Torah. She went, but tell us, Lady Hashem, she wanted the Rashi Shiva to be misfollowed to the Bani Shalom to find out what's going on. So if it's not a meaning of learning Torah, then it's not a meaning of Machi Shaliba Chacham. So then you have to go to the older Tzaddik, the older Navi, the older Chacham. So that's why Rashi is fearful to go to Lot and Amiri, she went to the Beit Midrash for him. I think Maral has it on the later Pasha, but she has it on Vayetzi, not on Tolu. When he points out the contrary, she's really tasty. The Gemara has a lot about this. So there's a competition between Yankov and Esav. There's a lot of talk in Eretz Yisrael. Is it possible to have people coexisting between the Arabs and the Jews. An ongoing debate in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Huttner has a drush about that too. That drush has got a lot of topics. He quotes from the Maharal Mitzvah, on Chumash, also on the Gerali on Chumash, where the Gerali points out about the different Shibud Malchiyah. The Gemara talks about, it was told, Abo B'choshech HaPanim Tahom, the Ruach HaVitim, and Achav, it was told, Abo B'choshech and Tahom represent the Dalet Shibudim. The Shibud Bavel, and Shibud Modai, the Shibud Yavon, and the Shibud Edom.
Right.
So how come the Maharal Mitzvah, how come in many different sukkim, in the Daniel, many different sukkim in Chumash, where they talk about the Dalet Malchiyah and the Dalet Shibudim? The Maharal Mitzvah asked, what about the Shiva, the deep stuff that it presents with the Arabs? It's a million years, a few hundred years. In different countries in Europe. How come they never mention the Shiva of the Ishmaelim, the hands of the Arabs? He has an interesting comment, which Rabbi Huttner develops at length, and he says, if you look in the Gerari, you see that that's what he says. Probably that's what he says. It sounds like he's saying that. Gerari's not such a sharp thing, the Maharal Mitzvah doesn't write such a sharp Hebrew. Sometimes you see. But that's what he sounds like he's saying. He seems to say that there's really no inner conflict between the Arabs and the Jews. We can live in peace together. It's just that they were the Shibud, they gave us a hard time for a while. But the Dalet Malchuyah, the Dalet before Shibud and before Goliath, those were by nature in competition with the Jewish people. Because the Goliath Bavel, the Babylonians took over the kingdom from the Jews. So that's like a competition. They took the kingdom, they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and they took away the Malchus Yisrael, and they established their kingdom there. And then who was the next one? The Persians and the Medians, they took over the kingdom from the Babylonians, who had taken it over from the Jews. So that's also in a sense in competition with the Jews. And Yavon also took over the kingdom. And Esau is some in competition, says, Leom Yemot. And the Gemara says, Amala hacharevo, malei azu hacharevo azu, Rashi quotes. If they tell you that that Rome is chorev and Yerushalayim is chorev, you shouldn't believe it. If they tell you that that Rome is dibinyana and Yerushalayim is dibinyana, you shouldn't believe it either. Because the prophet says, malei azu hacharevo azu, malei azu hacharevo azu, these two are competition with each other. It can't be that they're both succeeding at the same time or they're both losing at the same time. These two, by their very nature, are competition. The Christians and the Jews. The other nations are not by their very nature in competition with Babylonians and the Yavonim and the Persians and the Medians are not the competition, but it turned out that they were competition because they took over the mountains. But the Maharal Mitzvah writes, the Arabs, by their very nature, they're not a competition with the Jewish people, and they never were a competition. They didn't take over the kingdoms from the Jews. They ruled other countries in Africa, Spain, other countries in the world they ruled. So it turned out that there was a Shiva, but it was a different type of a Shiva. An interesting comment. On this passage of Leom Yemot, that by definition we assume that there's an innate that's what the Maharal Mitzvah says, that by the very nature the Jews and the Christians are in competition with each other, and the Gemara has Baruchas about this, Leom Yemot, and Melei Azul Chalei Vazul, Melei Azul Chalei Vazul. So Rav Chaim Balozhiner had a comment. Someone once asked him, the Gemara has a din, and get some top on that from here in the day, that an Akitoris, the right, you say, the Torah, so it's possible. Because you have to adopt the Shark and 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 the Shark. Akitoris doesn't believe in Shira Tatsila, and so he's possible for Shira Tatsila and the Shark. The Gemara says the same thing applies also to a muscler. What is a muscler? A muscler means a person who marches to the government. The Gosha government is interested in robbing a rich Jew. So how are they going to determine who the rich Jew is? So they're going to look around. So the guy who dresses in the most expensive clothes is the richest Jew. The guy who has the fanciest jewelry is the richest Jew. Not necessarily so. Could have a multi-millionaire who walks around in a dungaree, in a sneaker. It's where some of the big executives walk around. Sneakers in a dungaree. And he's richer than everybody else put together. So how are they going to know? So they ask the Jew, who is the rich Jew? And when the Jew marches, he says, go to his house. He has millions and billions of dollars. So the Jew marches at another Jew. And the government takes away his money. That's the terrible avera of Mysteria. I understand that I've got my boys and I put terrorists and even talk to them and she talks to them and a whole bunch of demons. But the end of the time, someone asked a conversation and went, wow, what would it be if I would steal $1 million from the Jews? I'm a gunner. So I said, no, no, so you put me in here. You put me in here. All right, so I feel worth $7 billion to put me in jail 142 years, but the more money I steal, the bigger. So why does he have to be tossing a bailout? Because he stole $1 billion from the Jews. He stole $5 billion from the Jews. So why should he be tossing a bailout and he's tossing from Stephen Kessler? Why do we declare that he's a Jew? The Chaim Elojin said, it's not so much that he stole the money from the Jews. The Tarsus says that by definition there's a competition between the Jewish nation and the Christian nation. So the idea of Moser is that if the person causes the Hefzik to burn down my $1 million bill, is an Avera. To steal $1 billion bill from me is an Avera. That to steal my money to give it away to the Jews, to have them win in the competition against the Jews, that's the Avera of the Moser. It's like an act of treason against the Jewish nation. The Maslan the Jew to the Goyim is a bigger Avera. That's what he's teaching in the market. It's the same idea. It's not some Avera of Zeyla, Mazik, or Hefzid Moment Avera. It's a bigger Avera because it is possible that all the Amos, that there's always a natural conflict and a natural competition between the Nochrim and the Israelim. And if he sees to it that the Nochrim are making money because of the Hefzid of the Jew, that's called the Begida and Kalim Shom. Still needs a lot of it, no? They're very strange things. I didn't make a mark. The pastor continues to say that there was a rod in Eretz Yisrael. Movad v'rov ha-mishin ha-sher ha-yidin ha-yadrov. And Yitzchak did everything the way his father did. Yitzchak did everything the way his father did. And he planned to go down to Mitzrayim. That's what he said. Why did he plan to go down to Mitzrayim? He was going to do anything that his father did. That's what the pasuk says later. The pasuk says he went to Gror, and then he got so rich, and then he left Gror, and then he went back to Eretz Yisrael. Left name on it, he had something in the name of Yod. Vayashav Yitzchak vayachfos Eretz Aman Shechof Mei Avram Alu Yitzchakum Tzitzim Acharei Mos Avram Vayikul Lahen Shemes Kasher Mos Asher Tor Lahen Ovi. He dug the same roles that his father dug, and he gave the exact same names that his father gave to those roles. So the Zohar comments on this process in the Sefer Tzava Kabbalah. He's a founder of Rebbe Tzvi. He always likes to call Zohar, but he's a Yekish Erav. How can he call him Zohar? He calls him Mechutz Derashvi. Not Mechutz Derashvi. Go to Rav Shimon Baruch. He always calls Zohar Mechutz Derashvi. He calls the Zohar Tzava Kabbalah. They quote the Zohar on this passage that this is the theme, this is the idea of Maseira. Yitzchak Avinu was the one who was Mechazik in Maseira. Avram Avinu was a very original thinker. He's Halev Lefanan. He was a pioneer. He broke through everything on his own. He figured out. Well, if Yerah first thing, maybe it says, and he figured out from his players, from the whole world, he figured out from like when you look at the house, you can figure out what the blueprint is. So the Medrash says that the Torah is the blueprint for the whole world. If you look at the world, you should see that you'll be able to figure out the blueprint. But we're looking very hard to figure out the blueprint because we don't know enough. Usually, you know, in elementary school, they try to take a ruler and measure all the rooms in the house and the closets and write the blueprint. You should be able to go and look around the world, figure out the Tayyad mixes. You didn't have Torah based on the world, but you can't figure it out. So Hamavina was very bright. And he could figure out if he killed everything on his own. And Yitzchak, the Sufim say, he was somehow not original at all. His whole Yitzchak, his whole doing was that he carried over every Maseira that he got from his father. He dubbed the same words and he gave the same names. Everything was exactly the same. So we're showing him that Takam Avram's name was changed and Yankee's name was changed. Avram's name was changed to Abraham and Yankee's name was changed to Yitzchak. Yitzchak's name was never changed. So the Rishonim give different suggestions. So Rabbi Hutton also gives his own suggestions. So he says, of course his name is not changed. Avram Avinu, he was a different person. First he was Avram. And then he discovered so much. He discovered this, he discovered everybody from discovered all the things. He said, I could have both said, I changed your name. You're a different man. You're a different human being. You gotta give him a name. Avram. Yankov also, something major happened in his life. What happened when he was fighting with the Malach? To the, he was fighting with the Malach. So the Malach, so who won the fight? Very unclear from the Chumash. Who won the fight? It says, Vayaki la yukalo, the Malach couldn't win. Now you get a copy of it. The Malach couldn't win. So it means the Malach is losing. But then it says the Malach broke his leg and he's limping. It sounds like the Malach won. It doesn't say it was the Malach. It says, Vayavi Gishima, whoever. So who won the fight is very unclear. Now, Aftera says, Aftera, Parashat Vayishlach, it says that Yankov won the fight. Well, we understand that that's the Chumash also without that third, but our third spells it out the third. Well, Yasser Amalach, by Yuchal. Yankee fought with the Malach, and our third says that it was Amalach, the Hosea. Well, Yasser Amalach, by Yuchal. The Yankee won the fight. Bracha, by Spanano, the Malach was pleading with him, let me free, let me free. The Hafter says it was a Malach, and the Hafter says that Yankov won. If Yankov won, how come he didn't win? How come he's limping? So that's what Rabbi Huthman points out. How come by Avraham, in each part, whenever they have fight, they won? That's his really army. Whenever they have a fight, they win. If they wouldn't win, they wouldn't be any of the dinners as well. They'd wipe out the whole. And how come with Yankov, if he fought with the Malach, and he won, but he didn't win? How come he's limping? What's going on over here? So he explains by Rufus that he maybe says, by Ego the Tap, Yerach Yaakov, the Dorish Oshmad. The Ramban quotes that name. Mishaloa Kodesh and the wrong Arishis on this marriage. What do you mean the Dorosh Hoshmad? What do you mean Arishis say? So the part of Pshat and the marriage is the Dorosh Hoshmad. Let's say the Nazis killed so many Jews. And many of the Jews that they killed were holy tzaddikim who didn't sin at all. They never bothered the Nazis. They never bothered going. They never bothered Jews. They were wonderful people. Nice, precious, beautiful people. So that's what the part of Pshat and the marriage is. The Dorosh Hoshmad, the Malach of the Dorosh Hoshmad comes. And he breaks Yankee's leg. What did Yankee do? Yankee didn't stir up with him. Then Dorosh Hoshmad, that represents Dorosh Hoshmad, that they don't have a shlita to persecute the Jews and to harass them and to torture them for no good reason, apparently for no good reason. That's the Pasuk Shaka in the Medish. And the Torah Shlomo, the mental Pasha quotes, but some other version, the Medish appears in many different places, but in some other versions of the Medish, I'm feeling the quote, some other versions of the Medish, and the Ramban on this week's Sedra has it like the other version of the Medish. You say Kun Fakir. That Dorosh Hoshmad doesn't refer to the people who are Sadiqim Satanish and Ezra to the Sashem. That's how the Medicine says. There's a different version, no. The Dorosh Hoshmad refers to the Jews who succumb to the pressure of conversion and they convert. And they're not killed. So that's what it's referring to. What does that mean? What does that mean, the Dorosh Hoshmad? So I hope to explain in his Russia, this he has printed, I think, in five different places. Every young thing. Say the same Russian. He keeps having friends to the Russian, one place and the other place. So he has a long arithmetic on this. The Russian says that Yaakov Avinu had a certain uniqueness that Avram didn't have, and Yitzchak didn't have. Yaakov was in Turkish land. Turkish land, and all of his children were Jews. Not like Avram Avinu, she asked him many Yishmael. Not like Yitzchak, she asked him many Yishmael. No, Yaakov was in Turkish land, all of his children were Jews. So Rabbi Huth explains, what does that mean that all of his children were Jews? What do you mean Avraham and Yitzchak? She asked the name of Esau. The Gemara says in Kedushin in the first period that Esau was Yisrael Muma. He was Jewish, but he was a Muma. So what do you mean that Yitzchak wasn't in Tarkish Muma? So apparently the Gemara means to say Avram's children were all Jewish. All of his children were Jewish. But then when they became, those who became Mumin apparently, that's what that Gemara means in Kedushin, seems to say those who became Apikursin, the Yatsim Achlau Yisrael. They lost their status of Kedushin Yisrael. Yitzchak's children were also all Jewish. Esau was also Jewish. But then, when he became a Yisrael Mumer, he lost his traditions Yisrael. And Yankov's children, of course, were all Jewish, but the Chiddush was that Yisrael HaFishachot Yisrael Hu. That was the unique Chiddush that was established in the middle of Yankov's life. Before he fought with the Malach, of course, all of his children would be Jewish, and whoever would become an Apikoros would be given to God. He would lose his traditions Yisrael. And after he fought with this Malach representing Torah Esau, and the Dorosh Hoshmad, what does it mean? That in the generation of Shmad, even the Jews who will convert to another religion will remain Jewish. That was the unique characteristic that was given to Yankov in the middle of his lifetime, that is going to mean he tells the Shlomo that all of his descendants will always be Jewish. That's an interesting thing. This is a blessing that has occurred also, because in the earlier generations, whenever a Jew would become a Meshumah Nevech, he would lose his whole tradition to Israel. There wouldn't be a spark of Jewishness left to him. It would be more difficult to decide to become Jewish again, like a Goy Gomer who wants to convert. In the later generations, even a Jew who's a Russian, a Russian, who's an Apikoros Gomer, that he always has a mitzvah of Jewishness Yisrael, it's not a Hapikachat in Yisrael, and it's easier for him to do Jewish. And that then, it's a Myra, that the Apikoros, the Jews and Apikoros maintain the Jewish, but it's a Hissan also, that the Jewish people is limping. He's limping, as it says, and Achim Solim Ayurehenu. That we're limping over here, that we have Jews who are Apikursin. Before that, Malach fighting with Yankov, there never was such a concept of Apikursin who are Jews. This is a part of the Sassi. Once a Jew has become an Apikursin, this is himself. So that's why the Pasuk describes in Pasuk by Yishrof, yeah, Yankov won the fight with the Malach. He won, but winning winning the fight meant having this new unique feature of being Tosha Shleima. That's a limping victory. He's limping along, means that the Jewish nation will now always be Tosha Shleima, even if they'll become Shemad and Gemurim, the Jews will still maintain a position to Israel. But the Jewish nation is not going to have happy person in them. That's why the prophet says he won the fight, but winning the fight meant that the Jewish nation is going to limp a little bit now. We're going to have happy person in our ranks. The Rav Huzza points out, in the middle of Avraham Avinu's life, something happened to change him. He started to think and to philosophize, and he discovered God, and he discovered all of Mitzvot HaTorah, and he came out of the Torah to the Mitzvot. So he learned how to be changed, he was a different person. In the middle of Yaakov's life, something happened to him also. The Malach confronted him, and they had a, whatever it was, some kind of a fight. And the Midrashim say that at that time he was given this unique feature of the Dorosh HaKhmah, that even the Jews, that's how the Ramban understood. Even the Jews who become Shabbat will still be Mitzvot Shleima, but they'll still remain Jews. So his name had to be changed, so something changed. He was given some new characteristics, some new features. His name was changed from Yankee to Yisrael. That's why the Gemara says, Yisrael HaKhati Shechati Yisrael. They don't say Yankee. The Gemara doesn't on a passage from Yehoshua. Chati Yisrael. And they lost the war and eye because they were loyal and they came to Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells, so you should be doing damage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why did you leave the war? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chati Yisrael. We must have a dash, and Yisrael HaKhati Shechati Yisrael. Even if he becomes a Meshumer, even if he's an Apikaris, he still remains in Yisrael. That's the unique characteristic of Yisrael as opposed to Yankee. Yisrael was the Turkish man. In the lifetime of Yitzchak, nothing changed. He was Kodesh Mirechem. He was Nimrod HaShemayim. The Midrashim speak about the fact that Yitzchak was Nimrod HaShemayim. Avraham was not Nimrod HaShemayim. Why? The Mila that Avraham Avinu had was a Mila of Geirut. It was Kila of Geirut. Yitzchak was Kodesh Mirechem. He was Nimrod HaShemayim. That was a Mila of Jesus Yisrael. From the beginning to the end, he was Jewish when he was born. Nothing changed in his life. The only thing that Yitzchak did was he preserved himself. He dug the same wells as his father did. He gave the exact same names as his father. The Christians don't judge his children doing anything. That's what the Shabbat Kabbalah quotes in his Mechuk, that I read from his book. The Christians don't judge his children doing anything. All he does was exactly transmit the Masorah of his father. So that's what I hope to suggest. Of course, because everything began like that. So that's why the prophet says in Tolda, that when he's a Rav Ba'aretz, he was going to go down to Mitzrayim like his father did. He was on his way to go down to Mitzrayim. So the prophet tells him, no, I'll carry Mitzrayim. Shem Ba'aretz HaShalem HaLecha, don't go to Mitzrayim. So Rashi explains why, because you are an Oyla Tzimo, you are a Korban, Halei Hashem Lele, you are a Korban Oyla, and an Oyla, if you take it chutz l'mekomo, because it's mitzvah b'yotze. This halacha, that's a medrash. This halacha that a korban is mitzvah b'yotze, if you take it out from the smachim, whatever smachim happens to be, if it's a kachin to the machim is the azor. If you take it chutz l'azor, it's mitzvah b'yotze. If it's kachin talim, the machim is the yishalai. If you take it chutz l'yishalai, it'll be mitzvah b'yotze. Here, the psuk matof before binyan beis hamikdash. So the machim of korban is all of Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, it's a big korban. You can make a bomb in Eretz Yisrael. The Mefilter says, I think we spoke about this thing. Mefilter, the first Mefilter on Tzum Mishmo, he says you can only make a bomber in Eretz Yisrael. There's no head to bomber since Mishim. Katsh Haaretz, there's no longer any head to bomber since Yisrael. So apparently that's the mother saying over here that since Yitzchak was an Eretz Nimo, so if you take him Chutzim Tzum, he'll be Yitzchak the Yotze, and the Mokim is all of Eretz Yisrael. So he says you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, you have to stay. And if not for that, he was planned to do exactly everything to transmit the Master, to carry on exactly the same way that his father did. When a person transmits the Masorah, sometimes you have to change a little bit. Let's say in Balozhin, this yeshiva is officially named Eitz Chaim, the original name of the yeshiva. Eitz Chaim is named a yeshiva in Balozhin. Eitz Chaim Balozhin is yeshiva Eitz Chaim. Officially, this was founded by Mr. Shajur to carry over the Masorah of the yeshiva in Balozhin. This is the Balozhin yeshiva in America. In Balozhin, they say this year in English. Well, listen, they gave a shiur in Mishnah, they gave a shiur in Chumash. No, they didn't. Well, later Chumash they did, they gave a shiur in Chumash, but they didn't take a shiur in English. I was not transmitting the Masera. So obviously when you, so the answer is you're not even trying to transmit the Masera. No, it's not true. When you transmit the Masera from one generation to the next and you try not to change, you have to figure out, what do you mean try not to change? Let's say in the Galojan Yeshiva, I don't think they wore short jackets. And they didn't wear shirts like this, and they wore shoes the way they wear. And they didn't have clean-shaven Talmidim or Rabbein. It was a different world then. So when you're transmitting a Masera, you have to try to figure out in this generation, how does that Masera translate to the new generation? There are always going to be major changes, but they're going to be changes just in form, not in substance. Sometimes the Rebbe is going to walk up and down and deliver issues, sometimes the Rebbe speaks in Yiddish and English. That's only in superficial changes, that's not a change in substance. If the Chemit points out that in the name of Achrayim, when you have a minig and you have to, you hold them up binding, when the Balabatim tell you what the minig is, that doesn't mean anything. You have to ask the Talmud Chacham what's the minig. The Balabatim don't necessarily fully understand what the minig is. You have to be a Talmud Chacham to understand what was the minig. Because when you carry over a minig from one generation to the next, or from one year to the next, maybe the next year, based on circumstances, the minig that we did for reason X, Y, Z requires in this year or in this generation to do just the opposite. You don't always, when you're transmitting the Masera, you don't always do exactly the same as you did in the previous generation. Sometimes you do. He dug the same well, the exact same well, then he gave the exact same energy. Sometimes you have to change it a little bit, and a lot. And the other way should be preserving the minig. Sometimes it has to be the doctor different. There's a Maharsha in Sanhedrin, we must have discussed it last year. Talk on that Parsha, and that Gemara, about I, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains to Yeshua Ben Nun, it's your fault. Why, who told you to make a Cherem on Yericho? If you wouldn't have made a Cherem, it was your stupid idea. You wouldn't make a Cherem on Yericho, so nobody would be moiled the Cherem, and I wouldn't get angry at anybody. And then the Gemara continues to say that wasn't the first Cherem. Moshe Rabbeinu had waged different wars in the days of the Chumash during his lifetime, and he made four different Cheremim on four different nations. So the Mashal quotes the Kasha from the earlier Rachrenim, if Moshe Rabbeinu made four different Chayranim on four different occasions when he was fighting battles, so Yeshua was his Talmud mover, so he made a Chayram, Mamish, following in the footsteps of his Rebbe. He did the exact same thing as Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu get angry at Yeshua Ben Nun? Yeshua Ben Nun didn't discover this new Hanhoge in Avodah Hashem, he just did exactly what his Rebbe did. That's the Kasha that the earlier Rachrenim made. So the Mashal says he doesn't think that, you think we should say, the Mashal thinks that the Kasha is based on a mistake. When you are carrying over a Masera from your Rebbe, you have to see, does that Masera still apply to Manazer? It may be that in this generation, to carry over the Hanhoge requires to do it a little differently. And he says, things change in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Kodem Shor Yisrael Asa Yardin, there was no din, Kodem Shor Yisrael Asa Yardin, Yisrael Yisrael Asa Yardin, there was no din, Kodem Shor Yisrael Asa Yardin, so if one person is going to be Merlin, and the family Yerucha, all the Jews are going to suffer. The Gemara Darshan, that's Sufi, and that's where Brochim, Sanhedrin, the Gemara Darshan is an apostle, Kodem Shor Yisrael Asa Yardin. Why the Nikudas on that? He teaches you that the days of Moshe Rabbeinu didn't apply, so the situation was a different situation. Let's say somebody used to belong to the Mizrahi years ago. Maybe after Hakamas Hamdini should join the Aguda. Or somebody belonged to the Aguda. Maybe after 1948 he has to join the Mizrahi. Or maybe my Rebbe belonged to the Aguda before the Mechanic Sheish HaTayim. After the Mechanic Sheish HaTayim, maybe you have to change. Maybe you have to join them into a character. Maybe whenever something changes, maybe that's a major change that requires you have to do everything different. The Aguda is not the same Aguda. The world is different. It's not that the Dini HaTera are changing. The Dini HaTera don't change, the Dini HaTera stay the same. But the Shaila is a different Shaila. It's a different chicken. I ask the Shaila of traces on the chicken, they ask the Rebbe said it goes. At least I ask the Shaila, the Rebbe says, Musa, how can it be? The laws of the Torah change? The answer is no. They're stealing the shayla of a perfect piece, it's the shayla of a broken leg. What's the comparison? They're different shaylas. If you ask the shayla, what's the Jewish attitude? What's the term of view towards the Midas Yisrael? Should I belong to the Imperial character, Agudah, Mizrahi, Pearl Agudah, or Makam? Which party should I vote for? It's not the same shayla. 1947, 1948, 1949, 1989, 1990, every year it's a different shayla. You can't say, well, I follow the Masera of my Rebbe. That's what the Degel HaTorah keeps on printing now. We follow the Masera of Agudah. But they say the Agudah in Eretz Yisrael is not the Agudah, they're a bunch of fakers. We are following in the footsteps of the real Agudah. Huh? So whether they're right or they're wrong is a different question. But what they're saying is certainly true. You have to follow the Masera that you have and you have to see. Follow it. Your Masera doesn't mean, well, we always belong to Agudah, we got to belong to Agudah now. Maybe Agudah is a different Agudah. Maybe the Medina is a different Medina. Maybe the world is a different world. Not that the laws of the Torah are changing, but the Medina is changing. It's a different style. That's what the Mashal points out. A lot of people make a mistake about that. They think, well, like a minig, a Maser. About you have to follow in Hogim and Maser, but you have to know, how does that Maser apply today in our lifetime? How are we supposed to follow the Maser of Alaz and Yeshiva in America in 1990? It doesn't necessarily require that the regular Yeshiva should have long beards and tails and wear long kapatos and give the shiur in Yiddish. Maybe it does, but it doesn't necessarily require that. Maybe it requires that they should all be clean shaven and wear short jackets and give the shiur in English. Maybe. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. You have to figure it out. How does one follow the Maser? That's interesting. So the Meforshim HaChumash say that Yitzchok was the one who followed the Maser. Mamish, everything exactly the same. After Zekach, he was going to go to Chutzlars, and he didn't realize that he's not allowed to go to Chutzlars. The Baal HaTurim points out, and there are Midrashim, a few Midrashim that say that. At the end of Parshas Toldos, it speaks about Esav getting married. Vayar Esav Tiroz B'nei Tzom B'nei Yitzchok. So the Baal HaTurim and the Midrashim say, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the first verse, that it's prohibited to leave to Chutzlar, whoever lives in our source. Also lost it to Chutzlar, Elam came Lil Matera, Velisa Isha. The place is there, I think it's on Daphne Gimel, on the Dalek, I think in Avodah Zarah. The place has two opinions. Is it only Lil Matera Belisa Isha, or it means no? Other mitzvahs, Palachena, Achila Lil Matera Belisa Isha. There are so many yeshivas in Eitzot. What does the guy have to go from Eitzot to Lakewood? The people are going from America to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Where is this guy going to Lakewood? He's got to come to Yeshiva University to learn Torah. There's a lack of Hamatuli, any yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. So he came to Chutzlar. He needs a Shidduch, he has to come to America. There are no pretty girls in Eitzot. Why do you have to come to America? The one opinion of Eitzot is Achila Lil Matera Belisa Isha. That there's so many yeshivas in Eitzot, there's so many girls in Eitzot still. If he's Liba Chofei, Dapke, and this girl, or this yeshiva, so then he's allowed to leave Eitzot. The other opinion of Eitzot is no, only because it's a mitzvah rabbo. That's the part of Shatni Mar. Yesterday we were discussing all the different dinim that are based on the assumption that there's a chilek in a mitzvah rabbo and a mitzvah zuto. You know, the person from a knowledge on base. So according to the one opinion in the Eitzot, then I would deserve that to dinim. Here's another enough to mean it. Not this now, Shalom Chutzlar is only permissible the Mokka Mitzvah Rav, Lil Matera Belisa Isha. Like Limsa says, the Torah is only Mutta, also Limsa says, the Torah is only Lil Matera Belisa Isha. The other Mitzvah is not. Only for these two, because these are Mitzvah Rabbah. So the Mepharshim say, that's what the Midrashim says. The end of Parshas told it speaks about Al Masha Lil Isha by getting married. And then it says, Ayeti Yankim Be'er Shabbat, why did he leave Eretz Yisrael? Lil Matera Belisa Isha, he went to learn Yeshiva Shem V'Yever. That may have been in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know, where was the Yeshiva Shem V'Yever? Doesn't say. But the Medrash says that he went to get married. And the Yoram, theoretically, Yitzchak would have also been permitted to go from marriage himself to Chutzlars in order to get a Shidduch, except that he was an Eilus Nemo. He didn't understand that. He didn't know that. He was prepared to go to Mitzrayim. He didn't understand why his father had sent Eliezer to get the Shidduch for him. Avraham Avinu knew why he had to send Eliezer. Nitzam Hilchus Asalatus from Chutzlars would have been Mutter. So he's going for a Shidduch, so Lisa Isha is Mutter. But Yitzchak was an Eilus Nemo, so that's why. That's what Rashi says. That's why he was prohibited to leave Eretz Yisrael. Even the Mokam will not terribly to Isha. Ad ki gadal miyo, the Pasuk says that Yitzchak got so rich when he was an Eretz Gevor, by Yigdal Hanish, by Yerach Alok, the Gadel Ad ki gadal miyo. So Rashi says that the people used to say they'd prefer to have Zebo to Yidosu, Shal Yitzchak, and the Kasa of Zebo, Shal Avi Melech. How do you translate the word to Yidosu, Zebo to Yidosu? Of the mules, no? They'd rather have the dung of the mules of Yitzchak, rather than have all the gold and silver of Avi Melech. So the Reforshim on Rashi asked the Kasa that in the end of Vayishlach, it says that there was a guy whom I thought I mean by Midor. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. He was the first one who developed mules. He himself was a mamza. Rashi makes the whole calculation while he was a mamza, and he was the one who developed the crossbreeding among the animals. That can be that he was the first one to develop mules. It's already in the days of Yitzchak. He says, Zevo pay those who show you. So he gives all kinds of interesting explanations. They say maybe there are two types of predos. You had yesterday, we were discussing places in the Chagiga that they said that there's a predo from Sheshes Migration places, a different kind of a predo. And there's a predo that's from a hybrid. Well, the pasuk shot is there were mules. They would cross breed on their own, but the people, no one knew how these things came about. Things weren't realized by crossing their species. It never occurred to anyone else. He was a mamzer. So this was on the top of his head. This is what he always thought about crossing animals. And others interpret the word preda as meaning birds. That the Gemara says, I think that Seder Laderach says that, if I'm not mistaken. Seder Laderach is a shach in the early day, called the Seder Laderach. And the Sunni Shinhei, he says, Pidgin Aben. Maybe quoting the more place, but I don't remember. Shinhei quotes the Seder Laderach. That Pidgin Aben, I guess, the Seder Laderach is written by the author of the Be'er Sheva, who was a Talmud of Ismail. This is actually the first place he was a Talmud of Ismail. Anyways, I think in the Seder Laderach HaChumash, I think he writes, Rebel Predos and Shayitzkot means, like, Apila Predacha, Preda means a bird. It doesn't mean a mule. Like here, Humatos Hayamim, Rashi says Predos, that means a mule. Maybe that was the first time. Both are not necessarily. It could be there before. It is called as Aso. There could be that it's important. I think the Midrash and the Simele B'nai Seir HaFari means that these are the descendants, they were all descendants of Esau. I think the Medrash? Yeah. I think the Sim, that these were all descendants of Esau. So it should have been later. I don't know. I have to look into that. That's not a lot of traders, not a lot of German. or they felt they would prefer to rub shoulders with the rich guy, he just gets nothing. Rather than, he was so rich, they'd rather have a nothing from him than have all the riches on another who was poor in comparison to you. And they knew that it wasn't the God's purpose, because he got the Kavanah. It could be that happened before. Could well be. The passage says, Vayizu Yitzchak Boras Ahi Vayimcha Bashan Ahi Mei Asherim Vayivocheo Hashem. He had 100 times more pears grew than he should have normally grown. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Omed Zeh L'maisa Tori. He made an estimation of how much he's going to grow, and then it turned out that 100 times more grew. So what did he make an estimation for? So Rashi says he made an estimation in order to figure out, he was thinking, how much Shumas Maisis is going to have to have. So from this passage, the Medrash derives that Yitzchak was Hilchus Maisis. The Rambam quotes this Medrash, the Rambam in Hilchus Malachim writes, that after the Zohar gave 7 mitzvahs, he gave 6 mitzvahs for the Merishon. He didn't give the din of Eichon and Achad because the Merishon was prohibited to eat flesh in general. And after the Mabel, after the Zohar allowed Noach to eat meat, so then he gave him the din of Eichon and Achad. So in the days of Noach, it became 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach. That's why we call the 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach. We don't call the 7 mitzvahs for the Merishon. The Merishon only had 6. That's why the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Malachim. Then the Kafaya Dova before Alam Kulai, the world was going along for generation to generation when the Shevin was in the after the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was commanded on the mitzvah of Mila, and he instituted Tfilas Shachar. That's how the Rambam quotes in the Medrashah on this passage. Meir Shorim. And then it says the Yitzchak Tifish Maisres, and he was Misak and Tfilas Mincha. Ayet Yitzchak was Tfilas Masada, and Tfilas Tzirish Nana, Esach Lekhan of Tfilas. And then Yankif was in Stavan Giranoshe, and he was also a Mesak and Tfilas Arif. That's the Rambam quotes from the Medrash. What is the Medrash driving at? What is the Rambam driving at? That Avram got a mitzvah, Yitzchak got a mitzvah, Yankif got a mitzvah. So Rashi explains that he thought the Kavanah of Rambam and the Medrash is that you see in the Chumash that Kodesh Baruch Hu made a Christian Jews with Avram, another Christian Jews with Yitzchak, and another Christian Jews with Yankif. A Christian Jews with Avram means that he's endowing them with the Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael means to the Shonam and the Tzoyis of the Tzivon, a Kriyat Mitzvah. So if he's making a Christian Jews with Avram, it means that it's giving him some additional mitzvahs. So the Christian Jews had to be because of a mitzvah of Mila. No longer 7 mitzvahs going to have, there's an additional mitzvah. And then many Christian Jews with Yitzchak, he had to have some added mitzvah. If there's no added mitzvah, there's no Kosefes, Yishas, Yisrael. So that's why the Medrash had a question that Yitzchak had to get some new mitzvah. He wasn't mitzvah. I'm going to say he was mitzvah. Except that somehow nothing changed by Yitzchak. His name didn't change. Nothing changed. Everything was just straight Masor from beginning to end. It just says Yitzchak Hifishmeister. Didn't say mitzvah. Hifishmeister. And then by Yankif, he also had a crazy dream. So must imply Lechor that he had a Tosefis Dishas Yisrael of the mitzvah. His Yisrael was even more than Yitzchak. So that's why he says he was mitzvah on Gira Nasha. And the Mishnah in Tere Gira Nasha, there's a Machlekes Atanayim, but the Yavirim and Rabban, but the Gira Nasha is made behind the Tmeyu or not. So the Gemara explains, the Mishnah explains, what's the Nikudas on Machlekes? So the Mishnah in the Gemara explains, Machlekes is when it says, Akeim lo yofu b'nei Yisrael or Gira Nasha, and Parashas Vayishla, who are b'nei Yisrael? Doesn't mean the Jewish people. I'd rather refer to the children of Yankel Rabbeinu, whose name was just changed from Yankel to Yisrael. Yankel says to Malach for a brach and says, I'm going to change your name. And Yankel sees so, he says, listen, but it's in the name of because you won the fight against me. So the prophet says, Al-Kain, in order to remember that story, therefore the name of Yiranasha, Ada Yamazir. So the Gemara has a machlokes, when did the din of Yiranasha begin? Did it begin in the days of Yankel Rabbeinu? So then there was no din of Behemoth Tamei, Behemoth Tor. They were permitted to eat elephants and horse meat and everything, and rabbits. So then the din of Yiranasha, if it began, then it should apply then to Behemoth Tor, then to Behemoth Tamei. But if you hold that, no, really the din of Yiranasha, the story happened now, but the mitzvah of Yiranasha only began, okay, well, you know, you saw me, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people does need Yiranasha. So what's the possibly billion passages by Yishwar? It's like a footnote, like in parentheses. Mitzvah Kan lo hadiyacho tamah mitzvah, the Gemara says. But it's not that the din began at this time, but the whole Yishwar Yiranasha only began after Matan Torah. So it's understood that it only applies to Behemoth Torah, it doesn't apply to Behemoth Tamei. Behemoth Tamei, the whole Behemoth is off. You have to ask the Yiranasha. Behemoth Tore, the whole place is mitzvah, so the Yiranasha is off. That's the Machlokes HaTanan. So the Tore is, how does the Rambam, the Rav Mishnah, how does the Rambam write here in Hilchos Malachim? That Yaakov Avinu was mitzvah, Yiranasha, but the Rambam passed the Yiranasha, he's only made the Tore, the Lord of Tanayu, that means the Yiranasha was not given for Matan Tore, it wasn't given the days of the Yankov Avinu. That's where the Lech HaMishnah is on the Rambam. So if you look in the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah, you forgot the famous Pirush HaMishnah. Most people know the Pirush HaMishnah is the answer. They don't even know the Lech HaMishnah is the question. The answer appears in the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnah, he's Gira Nasha. He says that's not Pshat in the Machlokes HaTanoim. Chesis learned Pshat like that, Pashuk Pshat. When was the mitzvah Gira Nasha given? Did it begin in the days of Yad Gavina? Did it only begin in the days of Matan Torah? But the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah says like this, for sure the mitzvah Gira Nasha began in the days of Yad Gavina. The question is, why are we today, in 1989, why are we obligated to continue to observe this mitzvah? Is it because of the tzibur that is given to Yankov Avinu? In which case, it's Ben the Tamei or Ben the Tahir. Because in the days of Yankov Avinu, they were permitted to eat elephants meat if they wanted to. Did Giranasha is making all animals? Or should we say no? Sure, the din of Giranasha was given to them then, but the reason why we observe it today is because the mitzvah of Giranasha was repeated at Har Sinai. And that's what we passed in, that it's only Noyik was not as well because it was repeated at Har Sinai and not because of the tzibur that was given to Yankov Avinu. Why in the world should that be so? So the Rambam says, and I'll tell you further. He says, in the Pirush HaMishnah, that we today continue to observe the mitzvah of this meal, not because it was given to Avraham Avinu, but rather because it was repeated at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yom HaShmini Yimu Psar Alos, in the beginning of Parshas Tazir. What is he driving at? That's the Kavanah. So the Rambam writes a little bit, and after the rest, he gave a whole like, rush about this. And the Yankov was over the time. He gave a Hesed, which was printed, Nadodot Nidot. He explained what the Rambam is driving at, that there are two different demons. There is Nevuah and there is Torah. Nevuah by definition means a Hayro Ashoah. And Torah by definition means a Mitzvah. Mitzvah means Miyad HaLadoris. Rashi writes at the beginning of Parashat Tzav, Noshim Tzav, Noshim Zivu is Miyad HaLadoris. Rashi's quoting a Torah's Kohanim and that person. And the Rambam writes in the Roshim, the Rambam has 14 Sharoshim, 14 Klolim, to determine which Mitzvah is going to count and which Mitzvah is not going to count. So he says, only going to count the mitzvah that's noig l'dor. The mitzvah that's only noig l'dor. Rosh Hashanah is not called a mitzvah by definition. Torah mitzvah means only something that's noig l'dor. So the Rambam explains, Tarag mitzvahs member of the Moshe Mitzvah. The mitzvahs were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. All the other Nevi'im, one of the 13 Nikori Hamun and the Rambam are that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nevuah to human beings. Not just that he created the world and he walked away, he was in himself. No, created the world, he knows what's happening and he cares and he intervenes and he communicates with human beings. He has the ability to give Nevuah and he does give Nevuah. And number two, another cloud, another thing it is, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom was higher, the Madrega higher than the Nevuah of the Shanahim. Why is that considered an Yisrael? Let's say Yeshaya and Yirmiyah, who is greater? So we'll determine who is greater. That's not a Yisrael in that minute. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than the other Nevi'im? Why is that a Yisrael in that minute? Okay, so Rashi can explain that that's what this Yisrael means, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who is given Torah. The others are given Nevuah. Nevuah means by definition Ha'irashah. But the Bible tells the Navi, do this, do that, that's the Ha'irashah. The only one who saw a picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shlomo did a picture of it. Din HaTorah represents a description of Elokut. The only one who was given that vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the glory of HaMeirah, that was Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what the Klal in the Gemara is, Moshe Rabbeinu. Tariyad Mitzvah, Namalai Moshe Dishina. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who got Torah. So that's why the Rambam stresses in the Pirush HaMishnah compared to Gira Moshe, that we today observe Gira Moshe. It wasn't Sabbath to Yaakov Avinu. Yes, that's why Yaakov Avinu had a Kriyas Mizrus, he had a Tosefet Kriyas Mizrus. It was only the Sabbath to Torah HaRashah. It wasn't the Sabbath in the Yad HaRadarif for the whole of future generations. It's like Avraham Avinu was given the Mitzvah Avinu only as a HaRashah. Not as a Gira Moshe. And the fact that we today continue to observe this Mizrus and Gira Moshe is not because it was given to them at that time, but rather because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu and Harsina, the Torah's Torah. There is mitzvah, and a mitzvah in Torah is no yig miyara l'day. That's what Rabbi Avichik said, should be the answer to the Mechassinah Kasha. Mechassinah is the Kasha, there is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin around Ha'oivra, Divrei Navi, and Chai Mishnah Videi Shaman. It's based on a pasuk in Chumash. It says, whenever a Navi tells you something, Elok Tishmo, you have to listen to the Navi. Even if he tells you, Lava al-Divrei Torah, Lahayu Ashur. Unless he tells you to worship Abu Lazar, so even though he will show you only. But whatever another tells you, you have to listen. And if you don't listen, he says, Risha Shalish Ma'al Yidra Adab Yahu, Anochi Yad Rishma Imo. What does he mean, Anochi Yad Rishma Imo? So the Gemara says that it means Mishma Yidra Shema. And the Hasinach is Babad, the Kashi, knew Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. So all the dinim that Moshe Rabbeinu said are also Divrei Navi. So let's say one day a guy speaks all day long, doesn't put on film. He didn't say Krishna one day. Time Mishma Yidra Shema. Do you know about Divrei Navi? Whether they say you have to daven every day, the Rambam determines that daven every day, once a day, in a third. Krishna every day. My Krishna is there afterwards. He doesn't say Krishna is mana. He's lazy. He doesn't daven one day. He's Chai Mishu De Shaman. He's very well different. Nothing. How can it be? So what if Gemara has to list out who's Chai Mishu De Shaman? Anybody who violates any mitzvah material, who fails to fulfill any mitzvah material, is Chai Mishu De Shaman. Some of them have Krinok has, and others have all kinds of serious amounts of time. So they should set a terrorist, which by now has become the standard Yeshivish Torah. And somehow before I never saw it many drugs. In the last 30 years, it became standard. Now it's printed in all the front. Everybody says that's the official Yeshivish Torah. Ha'eval Dibbei Navi means if you violate the Tzibri HaNavi B'Torah Nevuah, if the Navi tells you something B'Torah Nevuah, what Moshe Rabbeinu said was not B'Torah Nevuah. Some of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu said was B'Torah Nevuah, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. You should collect them all and you should leave it over till tomorrow morning. That's not the Messiah of Mishnah, that's not the everyday. So whoever would violate that, they'll leave over till the morning, will be Chai Mishnah Day Shema. Or Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, okay, everybody has to go into the Yamsuf. So someone says, I'm not going to go into the Yamsuf. I can get wet. I have my new shoes on. I don't want to get wet. So if a guy refuses to go, it's Chai Mishnah Day Shema. Why? Because that Moshe Rabbeinu was also only saying the terrorist mitzvah. Wasn't saying the terrorist mitzvah, the terrorist terror, miyad al adar. But whenever Moshe Rabbeinu said that the Gloria Hamir is a Torah Torah, so that's not called Egal Divrei Navi just because he happened to have been a Navi. The fact he understands is because he was the greatest Navi and he said things about the Gloria Hamir, the Torah Torah, the Torah Mitzvah, so those things that he said the Torah Mitzvah, the Torah Torah, are not included in this din of Egal Divrei Navi. It's a different din. But right now, that's going to be the official term. In giving a parashas Vayetzer, the Chumash describes when Yaakov Avinu ran away and he fell asleep, and the Mokam HaMidrash, and he wakes up and he says, "Ein Zekim Beit Elokim, Zeh Shar HaShamayim." And then he promises, "Rabban Azor Tishamtem, I said, Yeh Beit Elokim, Chol Asher Titan Li Aser Asen Olo." The Imam Stephen points out that the Beit HaMidrash was called by different names by the different others. Avram Avinu called it Har. Aramaria. Yitzchak calls it Seder. I used to Yitzchak or Tzlok or Seder. He went to Babylon and the Makan HaMikdash was Marshall. And Yaakov Avinu calls it Abayi. The Gemara quotes the passage from Novi, comes from the Kayosa. All the nations of the world were saying, Akuma Ganala based Lekei Yisrael. That passage in Gemara starts. Someone say also, Tumah ben ala beis ala tei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what do you mean beis ala tei Yisrael? Lo tavam shikara har, lo tavam shikara sada, ala tiyankim shikara bayi. What does that mean that the others call the different ones? So the Mabit and the Kiryat Sefer, he says wild things. That's why he wasn't accepted. He was Ben Doro, he was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, they both lived in Tzad. And he wrote on the Rambam, and he wrote on the Rambam. And the Tzad Mishnah was accepted, and Mabit was not. So he says, Mabit always flies up. He goes to the moon all the time. He's given the courage from the Tzad Mishnah, says that, the Mori, and the Tzad and so on. So the Mabit writes in Hukkot Beis HaKhira, that it's not that the others were describing the same thing with three different names. Avraham Avinu, when he spoke about Har, was talking about the Har HaBayis. And he was Mikadosh the Har HaBayis. Avraham Avinu was Mikadosh the Har HaBayis. Yitzchak, when he speaks of Sodah, he was talking about the Azara. He was Mikadosh the Azara. Yitzchak Avinu was talking about the Beis HaMikdash, the building, the Bayis. In the Azara, as you go in further, the Hefer, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Hefer. So that's the Bayis. It refers to three different things. He was Mikadosh the Beis HaMikdash. So when he says that he was Mikadosh the Har HaBayis, and he was Mikadosh the Azara, and he was Mikadosh the Beis HaMikdash, I don't know what that means. But you're on the Kaddish. The Gemara says, you can't be the Kaddish out of the Shah's being. The Gemara says it was the Kaddish. My mouth was the Kaddish. It was very Gemara in Rotten.com dollars, but the Gemara says, David, my mouth was the Kaddish, the Ritzvah. The Gemara has a topic on the Ritzvah of the Azara. They were big tiles, big stones. The Gemara has a topic. What if one of the stones is Nekar? By accident, they took out one of the stones, and the coin is standing on the dirt floor. On the dirt of the floor, says Gemara, the Safek, is that good enough? And though he was Mikadosh the Ritzvah, was Mikadosh the whole depth of the Ritzvah, was only Mikadosh the surface on top of the stone. So what you mean is, the coin has to stand there forward on the floor, that's Mikadosh the Bishop's Kasha Hazara. So what if he's standing not on the stone, then the stone was removed? Necro Evan is standing on the floor. The coin is there. What do you mean when double? She thought he's double. So the only Mikadosh the surface was Mikadosh at Ayat Kahima, was Mikadosh in depth. The Sages says, what does the Sages say? What do you mean David? David couldn't be Mikadosh, he didn't build it. And Kiddush Shalom of Ashash, didn't he? The Gemara says, he's still in the Hesher. But my mouth was Mikadosh. The Dachorim have all kinds of things in the world. He says, and Abit says, that Abraham Avinu was Mikadosh this, and this is Mikadosh that. That we don't understand. I don't understand that. But even the other here, that's not the way it's generally understood. All the Mepharshim that I'm aware of, and that Gemara, all understand differently. That Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov are all describing the same thing, and each one had a different outlook or a different impression of it. So Aram is referring to the same thing that Yitzchak and Yankov are referring to, and he calls it a har, he calls it a sod, he calls it a bayis. That's the question, why? What does each one represent? So that's what the Mepharshim talks about. But the Mabit had different theory. And the original interpretation, each one is talking about a different aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. Parshas Vayetze, when it describes the way Yaakov Avinu gets married to the four wives and he has all these babies, he has a whole family full of babies here. So finally, after Rachel finally has a baby, very strange passage. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, famous Medrash, based on a passage in Avadia. Now the Avadia says, Yaakov is like a flame, a little fire. But they say, it's like Lehavah, that's a big torch, and they say that it's like Kash, Slua. So Kohen, man, the Yankov Bina had all the other babies, he wasn't ready yet. It's a little candle. If you want to burn down a house, you can go with a little match. But when you take the match and you light some paper, you take the paper, you light a log, and then you take the log, and then you walk over to the building, then the building can catch a fire. If you have a wooden bungalow, you can take a match and burn it down. That's the first go, a little, make a big fire. So finally, when they had Yosef, and Yosef was like, right, the Yosef Lahavra, now the other guy says, now he's ready to fight against Yosef. He says, now that my baby Yosef is born, now I'm ready to go fight. Now I'm prepared to go back to Eretz. That's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash. This is one of the Midrashim, one of the 156 Mekoros in Tanakh that was only going quoted regarding Mashiach and Yosef. He's only going to have a Talmud, wrote a whole book, Kol HaTorah, which I've been in contribution. This fat book has Kufa HaGadolah. In the first 700 pages in the book, I saw Rabbi Sasha writes about Hakamah and everything under the sun. So I read it, he said, very interesting, rabbi, very beautiful pages. And then, in the end, the last 100 pages, he reprints this whole book that was printed up in 1947. It was written originally by a Talmud and Zulmagor, where he has Kuf Nun Vav and Yonim of Mashiach Ben Yosef. And he has them alphabetically arranged. Of the Alephus, Alephus Gimel. So he has, this is one of his sukkim. But this pasuk in Arvadia, V'hoya beis yankif esha, beis yankif lahoda, beis yankif lakash. And this pasuk, this is alluding to the Mashiach ben Yosef. The Gemara only has in one place. The Gemara sukkim has in one place. The Gemara talks about Mashiach. Alephus, the Gemara only has in one place. It's going to be Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben David is Mashiach ben Yehuda, that's from Leah. Mashiach ben Yosef is from Rachel. So somehow there's going to be two Mashiach and they have to function together. Not just that the Mashiach is going to come from Leah, and forget about Rachel, he's going to need both. But the Gemara never explains anything about it. The Gemara doesn't have anything about it. But in the Zohar apparently, I'm not familiar, in the Zohar apparently, every other page in the Zohar talks something about Mashiach ben Yosef. So the Zohar told the Talmudim 156 different unions of Mashiach ben Yosef, and he told the Talmudim that Ilu le'basi lo'el le'mele v'shvil davazeh da'yoy. But all the other things that he discovered in the Gemara and Tanakh and everything else, well, someone else did discover that. This, all of the avodah that he did, and he developed the theme of Sheikh Ben Yosef, this he considered his most important contribution to the world. Then he has also on the later pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, and today's subject. The Eitzah says, Nisa v'neilecha v'elcha l'nezecha. So he says, no, Ani is Nahaloli, you see, I'll go slowly. Ara Sherova, Adaini Seiro. Rashi says, when is that going to be? If all of Hashem has seen his first salvation, he's going to be a Hamashiach. So the Goyim says, what is Nahaloli, you see? That refers to the Ashkalta Gedula. That the Ashkalta Gedula will be Kimo Kimo. There are a lot of Midrashim like that. Anybody quotes the Yishalmi says like that. But Nasei Halayola Sashaka is referring to the Gedula, that just like Halayola Sashaka when it's dark at night. And then it's starting to become day, so it goes little by little. It doesn't go from pitch black to bright sunshine, it goes a little bit less black, less black, less black, then it becomes slightly lighter, slightly lighter, slightly lighter, till the sun comes up, till it gets clear, till the sun finally comes up and it's very bright. So too, the prophet describes the Yankin is fighting with the Malach, and he's limping, and he's somehow representing the Golis, up until Alot HaShachar, when it comes. Yankov is still limping up until Vayizach LaHashem. Then Vayizach LaHashem, then all of the Russians say he stopped limping. But why was Vayizach Noi HaShem? That is tomorrow. The sun only shone on Yankov Avinu. The sun shines on everybody in the world. No, the sun shines on everybody to give daylight. The sun shines on Yankov Avinu to heal him. So it's assumed Vayizach LaHashem. The Russians say, Vayizach Noi, the circle, the Russians say, Salatah. So when the sun goes up, so then he's cured and he doesn't limp anymore. So all the Midrashim in the very especially say on this part of the Torah Shlomit, this whole story is somehow a description of the history of the Jewish people throughout all the generations up until Mashiach, up until the days of Mashiach will come. So the Medrash says over here also, the Yisrach Lai Hashem, just like when it turns from night to day, it doesn't go instantaneously from pitch black to light. It goes slowly, slowly, That's how Yaakov Avinu says, Ani Yasna Lali Yitzi, Ara Sharala Varabayim Yisrach. When I come to you, all the Mashim HaShim 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 HaShim, I'll go slowly. So the Goyim told the Talmidim that this theme that's recurrent in the various Midrashim that is going to go slowly, slowly, Kima Kima, this of course only is if Loi Gochu. If the Jewish people is not Zerza, if the Jewish people is Zerza, it'll be right away. Achishena, so it'll be not Kima Kima, it'll be very quickly. The Gemara has that in Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a spirit in Tutsukim. One part, it says the Mashiach is going to come from the sky, he's going to fly in from the sky, Ve'oru min shemayo, and behold, the Hinei min ha-shamayim, Mashiach is going to come. The other part it says in Zechariah, that Mashiach is going to be riding on a donkey. Ani v'lech ha-balachama, a humble man riding on a donkey. So it's like a donkey, go slowly. He's not going to fly in on a jet jumbo from the sky. He's going to come slowly. So the Gemara is the Hasir, so the Gemara says, Kam shalom, so it will be Zechariah. It'll come from inside. If you get 50 minutes lost, that's just about something that'll be very quickly. And if it's going to be Loizaku, so we'll have to wait for the Easter, it won't be Ahishenah, that'll be a snarl on the Easter, then it'll be Shema Shema. Then it'll be Kolat Torah, he says it all the time, even the world is gone, Mr. Shmuz is done a lot of that B.F. HaMashiach, called the Geduva, he told us, you know, Mufa is Yisrael. Some of the things we have to do, because we should do the Tata, some of the things the Baruch Hu have to do, because we have to move there, so we have to start building, we have to get Shishim Libo, which is based on Kabbalah's word. The Gemara never says that Shishim Libo Jews living in Eretz Yisrael has any significance. The significance would be if you have Kol Yashvei Aleph, the majority of the Jewish population lives in Eretz Yisrael, there is a Shishim Libo, so that's the Degoyim Torah Talmidim, so that's of significance. So in other sources, in Kabbalah's sources, Leo Levy just came to the master. People don't know who Leo Levy is. He used to teach here in the college, physics. But before my time, he used to teach physics. He's the head of Machon Lev now. Professor Lev, who founded his institute, I think partially in retirement, and yes, Leo Levy used to teach physics here at the head of school. Leo Levy's a yeshiv. He used to live in the center, and he used to learn the Adayim Tov Reishis in the time of living. And he got smithers from Rabbi Hutton, he got smithers from Rabbi Loya. He always quotes Hirsch. He published an essay, and this year, Shana B'Shana, it's printed by the Jewish agency, by the Rabban Terasi, by JNS. No? Very surprising that he printed an essay there. He printed an essay about Eretz Yisrael, according to the Hashkafas HaTorah. He says he has to pledge allegiance to Hirsch. He keeps on quoting Hirsch says, another Hirsch says, another Hirsch says. And if he pledges allegiance to Hirsch, then he says that he feels, of course it's outside of the Gula, of course it's Maitre Satsumi, he explains why there's no contradiction. Well, he explains what Maitre Satsumi means, he explains what outside of the Gula means, and then he throws in a statement there. If you have Shishan Eva Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, of course that's to be, of course that's outside of the Gula. That's the only source for that is in Kabbalah's form. That's not in her, and that's not in Chumash and Rashi, that's not in the Gemara. That's the Gula Gula's Kabbalah source is from the Zohar. So Talmidim asked him, what's going to be? You're going to make them a Medina overnight? How can it be? If you can visualize this, whatever, can you visualize, let's say that about someone's going to bring the Shishim Libo Jews to Eretz Yisrael, and overnight, how are they going to make a Medina a government? How is it going to function? He said, yeah, that's so difficult. I have to start working on it. I have to make highways, and you have to have a post office, and you have to have police, and you have to have soldiers. Yeah. So it's not so easy. You can't have it overnight. Yeah? We discuss in the Talmud, how can you visualize making a Medina overnight? Mice, it's like overnight. Even the 40 years is like overnight. Very fast. Even the things that are going so big in Eretz Yisrael, but a country that's only 40 years old, to visualize the way it was before, the way it is now, like a talent that they got so far, even as corrupt and as malfunctioning the whole system is, no one understands the whole economy there. The biggest economists in the world can't understand how anything works. No one understands that. No one understands the Kukia Knesset. No one understands anything. That's why they say that it's a cult. It's a cult means that no one understands. Even the members of the Knesset don't understand. That's why it's called Kukia Knesset. But still, to think that in 40 years they got from there to there, it's not there. Now it's like overnight. The end of Parshas Vayetze, Laban comes to complain to Yankov, and he says, why did you run out so fast? If you would have told me, I would have made a farewell party, I would have had music, Ashalechacho, how does he say? Simcha v'shir, the scope of the chinor. You would have played music then, would have had a whole party. So on the Yor Zeruah, regular Zeruah, that we only use all the time. They call them the Ezra Gomes. They can use their dignity and fall from and all the way. They're the same size. They're very tall. Bigger than us. They call the Ezra Gomes so they're simply size. The Ezra Gomes says, based on this process, you see, when you travel a lot of miles, so you have to sing near it. Because in the city, he says, if I would have known that you're going away, I would have had you made an official farewell, would have made a party, would have had music, would have been singing, and then. You see from here that when you bid farewell to the Shabbos is also a very important guest, so you have to sing his mirrors. And if you have to sing his mirrors when you bid farewell to the Shabbos, that's the time you have to sing Kabbalah Shabbos. When the Shabbos comes, you certainly have to make a big Kabbalah Shabbos and sing a lot. This passage here, Rebbe says, this passage is the marker for singing the Jewish at Malala Malka. And with the Kal V'chaimer, it's the marker for singing the Chabaydi in all of the Nigunim Kabbalah. That's why I said you sing. Like in some Yeshivas, they don't believe in singing. So there's no Nigun by the davening, and they just keep playing. They just recite the Sukkim of the Purim on the Chabaydi. That's not it. The Sukkim of the Shir of the Sof of the Chino, he's supposed to talk to have Nigunim. The marker is to have me do it, not that to recite these Tafikla Tunis. Like when you have a Chayla Rahman of Islam, you cry and you say the Tunis. You're not supposed to cry when you say the Tunis Rahman. You're supposed to sing. You're supposed to sing rejoicing. And then in the Lava Mark, you're not supposed to just say the prayers that are printed in the Yishami, that the Mishabur says, you've got to say that, you're supposed to say it in the Yishami. So then we're going to form a reality. You've got to say that, because you say it in the Yishami. First, you sing the good amount of Toshab, the good can't help. Like Malvan would have done, he would have made it for us. Is it enough? Is it enough? Yankov Amin in the beginning of the parasha says, from Malvan Garthi, Barakarot, the Rashi quotes the name, from Malvan Garthi, the Kayab Luke Shamar. So I'm a portion there. What is Ace of Issus when you hear that he kept the Kayab Luke? Shouldn't came up. What's the significance of that? All right, the word Garthi is the same letter as Taya. What does it get to over here? How does it fit in? Well, you pick the word Garthi and you say Taya Mr. Shmart, it doesn't fit in. So the, I think the Taz, right, in the Sefer Divrei does it. The Taz doesn't say Tachumash in Rashi. I think it's the Taz who has this comment. He says that in Kurta Terra I'm going to win if we have a fight. He says, Yankov Avinu prepared himself for three things, the Doron, the Tzilo, and Mohammed. And Mohammed, actually, Leo is going to win a war, how? I'm going to fight you. I'm going to fight you. So he said, I learned a lot of Torah, and I kept a lot of mitzvahs, and I'm going to win the war. Because the Kurs Torah mitzvahs, a person wins the war. In the Mark says that you're not allowed to have a showing in the army. Even if you say, you're not allowed to be in the army. Gets thrown out of the army. After that, the only headman is only 200 soldiers. Only the military has to go in the army. So he says, I'm going to fight with you, I'm going to win, because I was through all along. I fulfilled all the Italian mitzvahs. That's the pshat. He says, so you better be afraid of me. Then all the Maharshim asked, how could he possibly fulfill the Italian mitzvahs? It's physically impossible. There are some mitzvahs that don't do it. There are some mitzvahs that only apply to Kohanim, and the Beis HaMikdash, to Levi, and to Klal Yisrael, and Brother Smeros, and the Beis HaMikdash, and Brother Sassafon, and Tzidin HaShem. He did all these mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs only apply now to our children from my street to the other. He was sitting on the footwork. What are you talking about, Taz Mitzvahs from us? But the Mepharshim gives different answers on this stuff. So the Taz, I think, in the Divrei Rabba, the Taz says, that the Gemara says in the end of Zrochim, the end of Zrochim, whoever learned the laws of Tarbonis, Malala Tarkatila, he was mocked with Tarbonis. So the Taz assumes that the same is true regarding all mitzvahs I put it. And that's what the Mabit writes in one place in the Kiryas Sefer also, that whoever learns the little Gedinim, whoever learns the Gedinim is Malala Tarka Kiryas for children. The Chofetz Chaim has in his introduction to touching, he published Asifa Ken, he published a fat paper with a leak of all the Achenim on Seder Kutchin, to encourage everybody to learn. There's a whole introduction encouraging the Lima of Kutchin. So he quotes from Rishonim who say not so. It's not that thing to say that this Kalahiti is a Parasailor. Those Parasailors, Kalahiti, Parasailors, Peter Hitler, Kadreira, is only by Kabbani. Doesn't apply to Shah Mitzvah Kalahiti. Here, other Achaim don't give the answer of the Tao. They hold it not correct. Tao is Mitzvah Shamarki by learning the DMC with seeing Achaim. That's only by Kabbani. What's the Tao Mitzvah? They say a different Parasailor. They say a person who has in his heart and in his mind intention to fulfill a Mitzvah, Likish or Yavoy, or the Yadoy, the Yankov was prepared to fulfill all the Tayyidim, because this day would come up. It didn't come up. No, it didn't come up. But they don't say because he was sitting and learning, so I learned Hilchot Matzah, Kilo Acha Matzah. That doesn't happen by Matzah, only by Karbonah. So that's Tata Machlaikah. How could he possibly have to be considered as if he fulfilled all the Tayyidim? How do we do it? That's the question. So how do we do it? So that's what the Seder L'Adarach, I think, says. His preparedness to fulfill a mitzvah is considered as if he had done. He learned in Hilchot Tefillin, and he learned in the Word Tefillin. So the Magen Avraham says, what if a guy doesn't have Tefillin? So how does he say Kriyashma? He's going to miss Mount Tishma. He has to say Tishma in the morning. He doesn't have Tefillin. What do you do Shabbos? What do you do Balayla? He's going to get Tefillin. And once whoever recites Kriyashma has got Tefillin, he's made a Shekel. What do you do at night? What do you do Shabbos? So the Magen Avraham says, when you say, Shabbos, you know, it's all you have to tell enough, you should have in mind that on Sunday morning, I'll put on Tefillin. But since you have a mind to keep the mitzvah, let's say it's up to his mind.